We got Sabres and Hurricanes tonight, but again, with us recording in the afternoon, we'll save that for the back half of today's show. I want to have a conversation about Kyle Okposo. He is going into the final year of his contract after this season, and he is having his best season with the Buffalo Sabres. We'll go through what the top Sabres scorers, including Okposo, are on pace for to end the season on stats-wise. I want to talk about Okposo's future. Also, a little college hockey mixed in along the way, and a preview of Sabres and Hurricanes in the back half of today's show. That is all coming your way here on Locked On Sabres.
Your Locked On Sabres, your daily podcast on the Buffalo Sabres. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks for making Locked On Sabres your first listen every day. We are free and available on all platforms. Joe DiBiase here on the show today, ahead of the Sabres and the Carolina Hurricanes. We've got a 7:30 puck drop coming your way here on Thursday night. It's an ESPN Plus game. Now, I know because we're recording in the afternoons, I've been doing the morning show on WGR this week, that only a few hours between now and the games. I know a sizable amount of our listeners are listening the day after the game. So same thing, same process as last time. We'll save the preview of Sabres and Hurricanes for the second half of tonight's show so that you're able to, you know, drop out whenever, you know, you need to, because you may have already seen the game happen by the time you hear this. So be sure to follow us on Twitter. I'm at Sneaky Joe Sports. The podcast account is at Locked On Sabres, and Jordan Hanskin's account is at JR Hanskin. I will answer a Twitter question from today's show. If you always want to hit us up at Locked On Sabres for a mailbag question, we will read it on the show. And I've got a good one. I've got an interesting one about a certain famous Buffalo athlete that we'll get to, and that's coming up in just a little bit. In fact, you know what? Let's do that off the top of the show. We've got a conversation about Kyle Okposo coming your way in just a second, and then, of course, a preview of Sabres and Hurricanes a little bit later on. Also, today, Michigan versus Denver at 5 o'clock. Owen Power and Eric Portillo in action for the Frozen Four. That's 5 o'clock, and I believe that game is on ESPNU, or you could stream it if you have ESPN app or ESPN Plus. Minnesota against Minnesota State tonight at 8:30, featuring Ryan Johnson, Sabre prospect defenseman. 8:30 is puck drop for that one. And of course, Sabres and Hurricanes will be at 7:30. The Twitter question, which comes in from, hold on, I believe it is Kaylee. Kaylee asks about Patrick Kane. Should the Sabres, with all of their cap space coming up this offseason and needing to get to the cap floor, consider trading Patrick Kane in the final year of his contract? I feel like this is an individual that we are going to talk a lot about this offseason. He is a very polarizing figure in Buffalo sports. He is from Buffalo. To say the least, I mean, I'm being very kind in saying he has character questions off the ice, more so than maybe on the ice or in the locker room. And I've got a player in Patrick Kane that is indeed going into the final year of his contract. I don't think I realized that until this question. And the Blackhawks should. I think they're about to finally blow it up. They're probably 4 years too late. And you can understand why they're 4 years too late, because they won 3 Stanley Cups with these guys. But they're finally seemingly going to arrive at a place where they realize we gotta tear it all down. Trade Jonathan Toews, trade Patrick Kane. We tried to replenish the team with Seth Jones and Marc-Andre Fleury. It didn't work. There's nothing left we could do. There's nothing left we could do to win with Kane and Toews. We got to move on from them, get what we can. And if they're going to move on from Patrick Kane, you know, 1 year left at $10.5 million. There are only so many teams that are going to be able to eat that cap hit. The Sabres not only can eat that cap hit, they can eat that cap hit 4 times, and they need to eat a cap hit like that to help them reach the cap floor. He's a great player still. I mean, offensively, he is absolutely a great player. There is no question about it. The stick handling is still one of the best in hockey. Maybe only Connor McDavid and Nathan MacKinnon are above him in terms of the quickness in his wrist, stick handling. He still is able to score goals, 22 goals in 66 games this year. He's a great playmaker still, 58 assists. He's got 80 points in 66 games played. He has been above a point a game player each of the last four seasons. So while the Blackhawks have been going straight down the tubes, Kane's offense has remained 110 points in 2019, 84 points in 70 games in 2020, 66 points in the abbreviated pandemic shortened season last year in 56 games, and then 80 points in 66 games this year. So I'm open to the idea of trading for Patrick Kane, but no, you got to know what you're getting. You're getting a one-dimensional, yes, an elite offensive talent, but a one-dimensional 33-year-old forward going into his age 34 season who's got 1 year left on his deal. So I don't want to give up any real asset, any real asset. And to me, that probably means the Sabres would be out on an idea like this. Who's trading for Patrick Kane? They're a team that's going to ask Chicago to eat half the salary for $5.25 million. The Sabres don't even want to eat half the salary. But more importantly, a team that is in a Stanley Cup contending window right now that thinks Patrick Kane could be the final piece. The Sabres are not in searching for their final piece mode. So, Kaylee, I would have to say that I am out on the idea of trading for Patrick Kane unless nobody wanted him and the Sabres could fetch him for like a third round pick and a low level prospect. I don't want to give up anything of value for a 34-year-old winger. Just absolutely not. But I still believe he's an elite offensive talent, and someone will trade for him, and I think he'll be a good addition for someone. I just don't think it really fits with Sabres' timeline. But I imagine we will talk more about him when the offseason hits because of the obvious connection between him and being from South Buffalo. And Sabre fans, you know, for years have been wondering if that might ever happen. So Sabres, by the way, won their last game 4-2 over the Carolina Hurricanes. And that was a good game, right? Sabres got run over at parts in that game, but the third period they really came on strong. A couple of nice goals. Casey Mittelstadt, obviously, with a nice low blocker shot that beat Frederick Anderson in the second period. Rasmus Dahlin makes the play of the game. He stops a puck along the boards and he spins and fires it to a wide open Victor Olofsson, who's able to fire the puck in the back of the net. So a good game by the Sabres, and they will hope to win their second in a row against the Carolina Hurricanes in a home and home here on Thursday night. Carolina, the best team in the Metropolitan Division this season. Sabres have been beating some good teams this year, and they can follow up the win over Carolina, beating Carolina again, which would be another great victory on the Sabres resume. You know, before we get to a preview of tonight's Hurricanes game, I do want to get to Kyle Okposo, but the reason I got to thinking about Kyle Okposo in the first place is I was poking around the Sabres top scorers. What are they on pace for? You know, we've got just over a dozen games left. We've got a baker's dozen left, 13 games left in the season. And what are these guys on pace to hit? Because you look at their stat sheets right now, and it's like, all right, Thompson has hit the 30-goal mark. Skinner is one away from hitting the 30-goal mark. We got some guys having some really nice seasons offensively. Scoring is up in the NHL, and that has contributed to that. But also contributed to that is Don Granato's system, putting guys in position to succeed. And also, I think, honestly, Jack Eichel going out the door, for Thompson especially. Tage Thompson has blossomed being the guy that has the puck on his stick in the most important situations. And that was always Eichel. Thompson had to be a guy that played away from the puck, and that just really was never a natural fit for him. So what are these guys currently on pace to finish the season with? Let's start with Tage Thompson. Thompson, who currently sits with 31 goals and 55 points, is on track to end the season with 37 goals and 66 points. That's a dynamite season. 37 goals, man. He is putting himself, he'd have to have a real nice final 13 games, but the benchmarks that Thompson will be shooting for, that I think Sabre fans should be rooting to see him get, is get to that 40 goal mark. He's got to get 9 goals in his last 13 games. Again, that's a lot, but he's the one player, one of the players on the team that's capable of scoring that many goals in that many games. And then he needs 15 points in his final 13 games to reach 70 points. I think that one might be a little less likely, but we'll see. Both are within range for Thompson to hit the 40 goal mark and to hit the 70 point mark. Jeff Skinner, 34 goals is his pace. He's currently got 29 and 69 games played. He's on track for 34 goals and 61 points. That would be an amazing season for Jeff Skinner to cross the 30 goal mark. He should reach the 30 goal mark. He only needs one more, and that will be what a comeback. I mean, comeback. Oh, can I say comeback player of the year? Thompson might usurp him. We got two guys. So can we have comeback player of the year award winners between Thompson and Skinner? Skinner in his 40 goal season with the Sabres had 63 points. So he's going to come close. You know, he needs how many? He needs 13 points in his final 13 games to beat his Sabres high of 63 points. He's not going to get the 40 goal mark. I mean, he needs 11 and 13. I guess he's capable of it, but it would be stunning, I think, if he gets there. Who's third in scoring for the Sabres? That would be Rasmus Dahlin. Dahlin with 44 points in 69 games played. Dahlin is on pace for 52 points on the season and 11 goals scored. He is currently at 9, and that he is already, I mean, he needs one more point to break his career high. His career high actually was his rookie season. His rookie season for the Sabres, he had 44 points in 82 games played. He's currently at 44 points in 69 games played. So we know it's been a career year for Rasmus Dahlin, especially in the second half of this season. And he will have a career year. And, you know, what could he get to? Could he get to 60 would be a lot. 16 points in 13 games played. Again, a lot of these benchmarks I'm kind of shooting high as they're capable of it, but I'm betting against it. But maybe. You know, maybe Dahlin could get to 60 points. And I think he'll get that 10 goal mark, the double digit goal mark for the first time in his career. He only needs one more goal for that. So that's what Dahlin's on pace for. And then the next guy in the list is someone that I want to have an expanded conversation about. And that is Kyle Okposo. Kyle Okposo. We talk a lot about the youth on this team. We talk a lot about young players taking a step forward, like Tage Thompson, like Dahlin, like Dylan Cousins, like Peyton Krebs. But how about Kyle Okposo? He's got 18 goals, 23 assists, and 41 points in 65 games played. And what Okposo is currently on track for? 22 goals and 49 points. So Okposo needs two more goals to reach the 20-goal mark. He needs 11 points in his final 13 games to reach the 60-point mark, which will be unbelievable. If Kyle Okposo, what a season, if that man gets to 60 points, it would be incredible. To beat his Sabre career high, he only needs 4 points. Think about that. This guy's been here a long time. This is his sixth season with the Buffalo Sabres. And in his sixth season, he's going to break his career high for the Sabres. I want to talk more about him, the historical nature of what Okposo has been for the Sabres, which might surprise you. And what could be ahead for him? A trade? A second contract with the Sabres? Did we ever think Kyle Okposo would get to a second contract with the Sabres? I think that that is a possibility, and I want to talk about that in Okposo when we come back here on the Locked On Sabres podcast. Before we do that, I want to take a minute to tell you about HelloFresh. When I saw HelloFresh was becoming a sponsor of the show, I got real excited because I've used HelloFresh many times before. I am someone that is interested in cooking, and I can cook, but I wouldn't consider myself good at cooking. I always watch Hell's Kitchen, Gordon Ramsay. I always watch Gordon Ramsay stuff, and watching those shows, like, I wish I could do that. And I'm still not really doing it, you know, on my own, but I'm getting a little help, and I'm getting a little help from HelloFresh. They lay it all out for you. When you get the box, everything is pre-portioned. They've got the instructions very clear on what to do, how to do it, how much time it's going to take you, exactly what you need before you get started. Everything is laid out super clear, super easy, and I think it's a lot of fun. As someone that, again, is very interested in cooking, I think it's a lot of fun, and the most important part, the food is awesome. And when you make it yourself, you know, you really have that added, what's the word I want? You really have that, maybe it just tastes better because you know that you made it. HelloFresh, it's fit and wholesome as well. Recipes for satisfying and nutritious meals that you can feel good about. 6 recipes per week to choose from, including low calorie and low carb conscious options. That's good for me, someone that is currently in the middle of keto. Go to HelloFresh.com right now. Use HelloFresh.com/LockedOn16 and use the promo code LockedOn16 for 16 free meals and 3 free gifts. Go to HelloFresh.com, /LockedOn16. Pick from your favorites, 50 different weekly options. There's a lot to choose from, and I love it. Again, HelloFresh.com/LockedOn16. Use the code LockedOn16 for up to 16 meals and 3 free gifts. Joe DiBiase back here on the Locked On Sabres podcast. I left off talking about Kyle Okposo. What is ahead for, I think it's fair to call him the Sabres de facto captain. You know, maybe even going back to when Eichel had the C on his uniform, Kyle Okposo was the de facto captain. You heard Rick Jeanneret the other day on his goal call for Okposo call him dad. He's like the dad of this team. What an evolution that guy has had. Kyle Okposo, you know, I think he's really had, what's the opposite of a heel turn? A hero turn? Is that a thing? Is a hero turn a thing? Whatever the opposite of a heel turn is exactly what Kyle Okposo has had. We started loving him, and then we didn't like him, and now we're back to loving him again. You know, the beginning, what was the beginning for Kyle Okposo? Just to lay it out real quick here. He was, after Steven Stamkos re-signed with the Tampa Bay Lightning in the summer of 2017, 5 years ago now, after Stamkos signed in Tampa, remember, Kyle Okposo was the number one free agent. He was the number one free agent hitting the open market. You know, this year you've got guys like Johnny Gaudreau and Philip Forsberg, the top free agents that are going to hit the market. And you might think that guy will never choose Buffalo, right? Well, once upon a time, that guy did choose Buffalo. And that guy was Kyle Okposo. Think about it. He chose Buffalo over everybody. He was the number one free agent. And yes, he got a lot of money that played into it, but it wasn't a stupid amount of money. I mean, $6 million a year is a lot, but it's not, you know, it's not crazy. It's not Skinner even getting $9 million. And then Okposo showed up and he had 45 points in 65 games. It was a good year for him. It wasn't what you would hoped because his final year on Long Island, he had 64 points. And a couple years before that, he had 69 points. He had a couple of 60-point seasons. 45 and 65 games, it's like a 50-point pace. You're probably like, all right, fine, not bad. And I think either that year or the year after, he was an all-star replacement. So he did go to the all-star game as a member of the Sabres, but it was as a replacement. He didn't actually get voted to the all-star game. Then that second year, kind of the same thing, right? 44 points in 76 games. Okay, so same point total, is actually down by one, and he played 11 more games. So again, you know, you weren't loving the contract, but you were okay with it. And at that point, it was the end of Tim Murray, right? And we were like, come on, can we make the playoffs? Like, can we make the playoffs? We were getting antsy. O'Reilly was on the way out. Eichel, you know, we were talking about a contract extension then. And Reinhart was playing really well. And Kane was coming up on a deal. It was like, are we going to make the playoffs with this core? And Okposo was a part of that core. He was a part of the Eichel, Reinhart, O'Reilly core. He was Tim Murray's plan originally to be a main reason why the Sabres were going to go to the playoffs. And he helped. He was okay, but he wasn't living up to the hype of what they had signed. Then he turns 30 and it hit rock bottom. He went from 40 point guy to 29 points in 78 games to 19 points in 52 games. And then to last year, 13 points in 35 games, especially under Ralph Krueger. Okposo really became fourth line guy, and he was good defensively, and he was a good penalty killer, and he would chip in a goal here and there, but he was a fourth liner that was just looking like a sinkhole of a contract, just a horrible, horrible contract that Okposo had signed. Now, where are we? Okposo, you know, I mentioned Thompson and Skinner, co-comeback players of the year. Can I put Okposo in there? Can we give out 3 comeback player of the year awards? I feel like it's fair. Okposo has gone from fourth liner, perennial fourth liner, to he is now living up to the contract. And we're in a different era than we were 5 years ago when he signed that deal. $6 million now is not as much as it was 5 years ago. But he is living up to that contract. Because, again, he could get to 50 points. And he's going to likely beat his career high for the Sabres offensively. And this is not a guy that has played a lot with Tage Thompson and Jeff Skinner and Alex Tuch. He has spent most of the season playing with Cody Eakin. and a lot of the season playing with Zemgus Girgensons. He gets power play time. I'll give him that. Kyle Okposo gets power play time. He's got 6 power play goals on the season, and he's got 6 power play assists. But again, even strength-wise, still pretty good. 11 even strength goals and 17 even strength assists. That's pretty good. That is pretty good. So we know what he brings as a leader, right? We know he's the de facto captain. We know he's dad. He is the leader in that room. He is the guy that gets up and he says something that needs to be said in the locker room. He is helping to groom players like Dylan Cousins and Peyton Krebs and Tage Thompson and Rasmus Dahlin. I have to believe that he's helping all of those guys be pros. The one thing Okposo still got offensively on top of all of his leadership qualities is he's got the shot. He's still got a really good wrist shot for his age. And while the foot speed has gone away, you know, Don Granato has spoken a lot about Okposo redefining his game and redeveloping his game into a different sort of offensive player, knowing he can't do a lot of the things he did in his mid-20s. Whatever he's done, it has worked to a point where now I'm wondering what the future holds for him. Now they'll have options. The Sabres never had options when it came to Kyle Okposo. You know, like he was just there. He was untradeable because of the contract and because of the production, and you couldn't send him down. Obviously, you couldn't waive him. Nobody's going to take it anyway. So it's just, he has to sit on my fourth line and be the player that he is. They had no options. Now, Kyle Okposo has given the Sabres options. They could do a couple of different things. They could let the contract play out. They could let him play all of next year. And of course, a lot of this will be impacted by how good the Sabres are next year. If the Sabres are a playoff team, there's no conversation. There is no options. The option is Kyle Okposo is on your third line and you're going to the playoffs and he's going to be important for you in the playoffs. That's all there is. But if the Sabres are, you know, an 80-point team and they're outside the playoff race, but they're having a good season, you know, maybe you look to sell him at the trade deadline. I think that's a tradable asset. I argued at this past trade deadline that Okposo was a tradable asset. If they wanted to get his salary down, retain some salary, maybe get Arizona involved and retain even more salary and trade him to a team like Tampa Bay, I think you could get something of real value, even a first round pick. And I still don't believe that it's crazy to think they could get a first round pick for Kyle Okposo if they get creative with the salary. Now, Okposo's 33 years old. He turns 34 on April 16th, and he will be 35 when he hits unrestricted free agency next offseason. So I think they could just decide, because of how important he is to the room and the season he's had this year. I think if I'm Kevin Adams, I'm sitting back in my chair and thinking, all right, if he's having a really good year again next year, you know, if he's flirting with 50 points again and 20 goals again, I think I trade him for a first round pick, but that's it. I don't think I trade him for a second, because you know why? If I'm not getting a first round pick, I think I try to sign him to a second contract. And I think that maybe is the likeliest outcome because of how valuable his veteran presence is, and the fact that he has become a steady goal scoring presence in the bottom six that could play on the power play and could play on the penalty kill. He's very versatile, I think, at this point in his career. And I think that's someone that you would want on a second contract, not at $6 million, clearly. But, you know, if he wanted to come back for $2.5 million, maybe even $3 million, I might go up to, because Sabres aren't going to be near the cap. I might do that. I might say, you know what? Yeah, keep playing on a third, fourth line. Keep playing our second power play unit. And yeah, you're 35 years old. We'll do 1-year deals. As long as you want to be here and as long as we think you're still reasonably productive, we'll do 1-year deals, and maybe we'll sell you as a rental and you can come back after that. I think Okposo has given them a lot of options for next season. And I think one of the lesser talked about comeback stories this year for the Buffalo Sabres, and one of the lesser talked about kind of hidden values that they have found, you know, not just prospects, not just Thompson, not just Skinner rebounding. I think Okposo rebounding to this level this year is big for this team, because it will either give them a veteran presence that can play for years to come, maybe not many more years, but 1 or 2 more years, or it could give them a real valuable draft asset at some point down the road. Not now, but at some point down the road. So good on Okposo, because he's been really strong this year, and I love that that's happened. we'll take a timeout here and we'll do a little preview of Sabres and Hurricanes. So if you're listening to this on Friday morning, you've already heard the game, then I guess we'll talk to you. We'll go talk to you tomorrow afternoon, Friday afternoon. But for everybody else, stay tuned and we'll preview Sabres and Hurricanes. I've got one prop bet that I love for Sabres and Hurricanes coming your way at 7:30. So we'll get to that when we come back here on Locked on Sabres. This episode is brought to you by Shady Rays. Shady Rays is an independent sunglasses company that gives you the features of $200 sunglasses for a fraction of the price. That means polarized lenses, well-constructed double frames, and premium high-end finishes. Also, something you won't find anywhere else is Shady Rays' insane protection program. Shady Rays includes lost and broken protection on every pair. They will send you a brand new pair if you lose them, no matter what happened. Give them a try, and if you don't love them, you'll pay nothing. It's as simple as that. Plus, 10 meals are donated to fight hunger in America when you shop with Shady Rays. Exclusively for our listeners, head to ShadyRays.com and use the code LOCKEDON to get 50% off two or more pairs of polarized sunglasses. That is code LOCKEDON for their best deal of the season. 50% off two or more pairs of Shady Rays sunglasses, backed by over 150,000 verified five-star reviews. Joe DiBiase back here on the Locked On Sabres podcast. Thanks for making us your first listen every day. Sabres and Hurricanes, 7:30 puck drop in Raleigh, North Carolina. That's an ESPN Plus game. Looking at the lineups for tonight, basically the same thing as what we saw on Tuesday night for both teams. No real changes. Starting goaltenders for tonight's game, we don't know yet, I believe is the correct answer. No, that's not true. Sorry. Craig, at the beginning of the show wasn't updated, but Daily Faceoff is updated since. So Craig Anderson is going to play his second game in a row for the Sabres tonight. And Antti Raanta is likely to play for Carolina. It's not confirmed, but it's expected that Antti Raanta will start for the Carolina Hurricanes. Looking at some of the betting odds for tonight's game over at our partners at betonline.net. The Sabres on the money line, big underdog, plus 290, almost 3-1 odds to win tonight. The Carolina Hurricanes, minus 380, heavy favorite. On the puck line, the Sabres plus a goal and a half are plus 120. Carolina minus a goal and a half are minus 140. Out of those, I am all over the Sabres plus a goal and a half. I'm getting plus money for them to either win or lose by one. I'm taking that. Especially the way they played against Carolina on Tuesday, which was really good. Over-under for this game is 6.5. The under is minus 120. You know what? I think I go under. I don't like usually taking minus odds and stuff like this, but the Hurricanes are just so good defensively, and I'm going to bet the under on 6.5. My favorite bet for tonight, I love this prop bet, Jeff Skinner, who I've talked a little bit about here on the show today. He's on pace for 34 goals. And did he score? Actually, you know what? Did he score against the Hurricanes on Tuesday? Am I forgetting? No, he didn't. He scored against... he did score against Carolina. Why am I not remembering that goal? He scored against Carolina. Well, Jeff Skinner, in 6 career games against the Carolina Hurricanes, 6 games since Carolina traded him, the 6 revenge games, if you will, that Skinner has had against the Hurricanes, he's got 6 goals. He has scored in 5 of them. Skinner has scored in 5 of the 6 games. He scored 2 in 1 of them. So he's got 6 goals in 6 games. Some of those games were while Ralph Kruger was the Sabres head coach, by the way. And we know how that went. Jeff Skinner playing with maybe Vladimir Sobotka would have scored against the Carolina Hurricanes under Ralph Kruger. But 6 goals in 6 games against Carolina for Skinner. And he is plus 225. As an anytime goal scorer. He scored in back-to-back games, by the way, if you want that, because he scored against Florida. But plus 225 as an anytime goal scorer. He plays on the top line. He plays on the top power play unit. He's played. He gets fired up for these games against Carolina. His former coach, Rod Brind'Amour, and his former organization, he's always looking to prove it, apparently. That's how he talks, at least. I sometimes will roll my eyes and stuff like that. But I could see Skinner, you know, getting a little extra juice for a game like this. And the stats would prove it because, again, that 6 goal mark in 6 games is something I can't get past. So I'm on plus 225 for Skinner to score against the Carolina Hurricanes. Enjoy the game. We'll talk about Sabres and Hurricanes. And also we'll talk about Owen Power and Eric Portillo against Denver, Michigan versus Denver in the Frozen Four at 5 o'clock Friday night. We'll either be talking about Power and Portillo going to the national championship, or we'll be talking about how soon they're going to join the Buffalo Sabres and if Eric Portillo is going to join the Buffalo Sabres. And then we'll kind of talk about Ryan Johnson too, because Minnesota plays Minnesota State, and same thing. Will he go to the national championship? Will we have an all Sabre national championship with Johnson versus Power and Portillo? Or will we wonder about Johnson and we'll start fire up Johnson watch and whether or not he starts with the Sabres? We'll see on our next episode of Locked On Sabres. Thanks everybody for listening. Feel free to follow us on Twitter. I'm at Sneaky Joe Sports, at Locked On Sabres for the podcast account. Thanks for making us your first listen every day. Now go make your second listen, Locked On Fantasy Hockey. Host Steel Roden and Flip Livingstone help you become the expert of your fantasy league. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts. Talk to you tomorrow here on Locked On Sabres.